Welcome and thank you for listening to this message from Legacy Church New Braunfels. To connect with us, go to legacynb.com. Now enjoy this message from Pastor Jay Miller.
Amen. God's so good. You know that? About 10% of you think God's good. How about the rest of you? Man, I tell you, it's important for us to, we can't get used to God's goodness. If you know what I mean, like you can't become inoculated to God's goodness. God's goodness should continue to be a standard that you begin to experience more and more and more, because it's one of those things that is not perishable in nature. You know what I'm saying? Like you can buy a loaf of bread and that sucker's only going to last a little bit of time on your countertop before it molds, but God's goodness never molds, right? That's why he says, store for yourself treasures in heaven where rust and moth, you know, disease can't actually touch what God's doing. And so it's important for us to continue to press into that and give testimony. So with that in mind, I'm just going to throw something out. The Lord said to do it during worship before I preach today, was to ask for a couple goodness of God testimonies. I know David's got one. I want you to go ahead and come up, David. But if there's anybody else, you got just like a 30-second, 45-second, God did something. Come on up, Cindy. Come on, we got, and by the way, you see this, our friendly moth flying around? It's been laying around, and Kelly's like, oh, here comes a moth, and I said, like a moth to the flame, like Jesus is doing some good things, there's burning ones in this room. We're prophetic people, we can find a prophetic meaning in anything, and I think that was a good word right there. So, it got one more testimony, I think it comes in three. Somebody in here, you've got a testimony, God did something good this week, and you need to share it. Come on, I'm gonna give you a chance to do it. Come on up, Rob. Yeah, I know you always got one. So 30, 45 seconds.
You made sure he said 30, 45 seconds. So, but today I was blessed to be able to get in the position of parking attendant. I thought at 1 second there it was Easter Sunday, because the amount of blessing, that it just gave me a vision of a field of young, a field of youth. And as we speak wisdom into our young, okay, speak it with pure. And how is that pure coming from? Or where is that pure coming from? It comes from God. And then it goes into to be desired, to continue. So that way it's easily desired by all.
Yeah, come on, you go.
Thank you. I'm like, I don't do this, but I would love to tell what God did. So the last week we had a really bad windstorm. And I had a trampoline in my backyard, and it actually made a semicircle around my house, so it didn't hit the house. It literally went from the backyard, and it made a circle and came right back in the front yard. It did hit my, you know, it dented a few things, but compared to the damage that could have been done, is amazing. So I'm so grateful to the Lord, because we were literally like, how did it get there, you know?
And it was like, your
angels pushed it, right? So thank you.
That's so good. That's good, Cindy. Come on, give praise for that.
So I stalled out on the highway on 30 minutes or so, and I had called for a wrecker, and the wrecker was going to cost $280, and I just didn't have that in my account at the time, and so I just start the car, and it started right up and drove all the way back to
my house. Yeah, that's good. Yeah. Testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy, so tell your testimonies, right? We sang that song, Show Me Your Glory. And a lot of times we're asking God to reveal his glory to us. And he's going, how about you just tell the testimonies of what I've already done in you, and you'll see my glory. Yeah. How many people out there in the world are asking, God, are you there? Will you show me your glory? And God goes, I got one for you. Here comes one of my kids. And they're going to show me your glory, or show you my glory through their testimony, my goodness. It's Jesus is the ultimate testimony of God's goodness. He's the word that became flesh, right? So that we might actually have a tangible demonstration of God's goodness. And yes, he redeemed us, but the whole point of redemption is to get back to the place where we're walking in God's goodness. Amen? The whole point of salvation wasn't getting back to the place of prosperity, getting back to the place of blessing. Let me hear you say blessing. In Matthew chapter 5, it talks about the Beatitudes, and it says, blessed are those, blessed are those. It's this word, a Greek word, makarios, and it actually means happy are those. It's not an emotion, but it's actually a state of being, because you've come into an encounter with the one that actually created you, who is good himself. He's not just good, it's not just that he has good things, he is goodness itself. He is happiness itself. He's blessing itself. And so there's this importance to say, hey, blessed am I because I walk with the Lord because Jesus is here. And I think it's time for us to begin to turn our eyes to the good things that he's doing and really turn away from the bad things that the Lord is, or the enemy is trying to do. So just real quick, I'm going to be Captain Obvious here for a second. I see a bunch of people fan and flame like we're an old, you know, Pentecostal service. Here, there's a very practical way of it. Sometimes when it gets hot in the room, I ask the Lord, okay, is this the anointing? I'll have to lean over to Kelly, because sometimes I'll get hot as blazes, and it's just the anointing coming on. And then other times, it's because it's hot in the room, all right? So this front AC unit, one of the blades wasn't working, and so it's actually that back unit's having to work overtime, so you can just pray for that poor thing back there, right? And just, we're going to get through this together, but just know there's a practical way if you're hot. I've preached in Africa. I've preached in India. I've preached in places where it's a lot hotter than this, right? And people walk for hours and hours to get there, so we can give the Lord about 35, 40 minutes of his goodness, right? Also, you might see on these sides here how many people were able to come out to the Blessing the Land dedication last week. Come on. It was so incredibly good. We were talking about we picked the right weekend, you know, because it was probably 78 degrees out there, and it's probably going to be 98 degrees today. And so it was just a good timing, but the Lord is doing some good things. And so for those that y'all didn't able to come out, or this is your first time and you have no, it's down from here. It's right off of I-35 on the east side. And we're in the process of going to be building a building, developing the land. So over here, you'll see the blueprint designs. And then over here, you can just see the 3D rendering of what that actually is going to look at. It's going to be a 27,000 plus square foot facility, which comes with a warranty and all those good things, right? But we know that God is prospering. He's moving us into a place. And I thought about this morning. I leaned over to Kelly. One of the AC units over here was giving us a hard time, and then this one gives a hard. I'm like, the enemy just doesn't like what's going on, and he's trying to distract us from the good thing that God's doing in order to move us into a place of disappointment. Right? How many people know God wants to bless you? But how many of you have ever faced a disappointment when a good thing God did came into your life and then immediately you had some sort of distraction, some sort of frustration, something you're like, man, God, what's going on? And we want to blame God because there was some bad thing took place, like an AC not turning on, instead of going, oh, the enemy just doesn't like what God's doing. Instead of being distracted and disappointed, I'm actually going to come back into action to what the devil does or doesn't do. I will praise God because of who God is and always in reaction to who he is. If the reason for your praise is not because he's good, then you've lowered the expectation of goodness. You've actually lowered the definition of blessing and worship and honor. For us, the enemy is not going to ever be satisfied. How many people know that the enemy is headed for a lake of fire? So why are you going to bother with him? Let's put our eyes on him, the Lord. Jesus is doing something in this room. And so I want to lift up your expectation today. The Lord wants to prosper you. Let me hear you say, prosper you. We live in a world where especially, it's less today than it was probably about 5 years ago, but there was a real pushback in the church world against talking about prosperity because there was a handful of people who had actually believed that God wants to prosper them, but then they took it to a level of idolatry that where it was all about financial prospering alone. Right? And not the prospering of the soul. And it became a big thing. And it was all about giving to get. It's all about going and chasing after what you could get the benefit of rather than we're giving to him because he's our provider and trusting in him. And so what it causes a lot of times in the church world is just like the natural world, you have this pendulum swing. We're going back and forth. And so you get a group that will go, oh, the holiness of God, we have to be holy and he's just and he's righteous. And we really have to have this holiness movement in the church that pushes back against sin. And then all of a sudden it became so much onto this side that we forgot grace and mercy. And the pendulum began to swing over here. And then you had a group of people and what we're facing actually today, where it's so much about messy grace, about don't worry about the judgment of God. Don't worry about his design. Everybody's welcome. Yeah, everybody's welcome, but everybody's transformed who comes into the kingdom. It's not when you encounter the grace of God, it transforms you into who he created you to be. It doesn't mean you get to live however you want to. It actually means you live how he created you. And so this pendulum swing can go back and forth. And it's the same thing when it comes to money and finances. Now, I'm not going to preach about finances today, but I just want you to get in your mindset is this. The Lord wants to prosper you. He wants to bless you in your finances, yes. But in your heart, in your mind, in your will, your emotions, in your family, in your marriage, and with your children, in every relationship that you have inside of you. Why? Because the prosperous one lives inside of you. This last week, we were in one of our elder meetings, and one of our this really wise elders looks at me and goes, I love the fact that we teach on healing, physical healing, mental and emotional healing. Every single week we talk about it. Let's not stop doing that. But he made the comment, he goes, but how often do we after go also prospering of the soul that comes in these areas of finances? I'm like, you're exactly right. The kingdom is not just that your mind would be good. Your kingdom is not just that your body would be good. It's that you would actually prosper in every area of your life. And just because there's people who have misused or abused that message, we don't live in reaction to that either. We're called to be the plumb line of the kingdom message, which means what does it actually look like? I remember in 2013, I had a decision to make. We'd been baptized in the Holy Spirit in 2010. As a church, we started as a cessationist church, meaning we did not believe in the gifts of the Spirit, the move of the Spirit, followed that all. And that was the first couple years of the church's life. We met the Holy Spirit in 2010. We began to pursue all of him, not just part of him. Come on, even those who don't believe in the move of the Spirit are pursuing God. So before we become high and mighty in our thinking, I was pursuing God. I just didn't pursue all of God. And all of a sudden, 2010, all of God pursued me. And I had an encounter, and I was at Gateway Church in South Lake, Dallas, and I heard the Lord speak to me, and I knew the voice of the Father by that point. I knew the voice of Jesus, and I hear the voice of God, and I know it's God say, JJ, why are you persecuting me? And I'm like, one, two, this is the Holy Spirit. I was fighting God, and he's like, I'm here to pursue you. Will you pursue me? Will you give me your heart? And we began to, and I remember in 2013, there was a group of folks that had been here who believed they loved Jesus, they still love Jesus, but they weren't ready to go after the move of the Holy Spirit just because denominationally and some theologically backgrounds, they just could not get over that hump. And I remember them asking a question is like, hey, if you pray for the sick, somebody might get disappointed when they don't get well. And I had to battle. It was the very first time I'd ever preached on healing. It was going to be that coming Sunday. And I'm like, Lord, what in the world am I going to do with this? And I was battling back and forth. And I remember the Lord said this, aren't they disappointed already that they're sick? Aren't they already disappointed that their foot was broken or they experienced some sort of pain? Like Jesus came and he was surrounded by sick people. And he says, I came because sick people need a doctor. And so it's important for us to be able to come in. And I remember in that moment, I need to not throw the baby out with the bathwater. Had there been abuses and misuses of the gift of healing? Yes. When we begin to move into prophetic ministry, has there been weirdness and abuse and misuse of the prophetic ministry? Yes. Does that mean we throw out the baby because somebody else had a misunderstanding of it? Or are we called to actually present the authentic God of the Bible? The fullness of who he is, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and all that he brings. And I remember that moment. I said, I'm going to be very careful not to throw the baby out with the bathwater. So that coming weekend, Kelly, I was actually supposed to be preaching on healing for the first time. And Friday night, I'm in an elders meeting, and I get this text towards the end of the elders meeting, and it's Kelly saying, hey, are you almost done? I had an accident in the bathroom. And so just when you're ready, I'm like, okay, I closed down the meeting. I went home, and what had happened was that she was in the shower and literally felt something go like this on the back of her leg when she's in the shower, went boom, pops her head, blocks the drain, and she wakes up with the water right here. Moves her head, of course, it drains and stuff like this. And her knee, which knee is it? It's a right knee? Right knee is swelled up like, you know, gigantic. And what had happened is she had torn her ACL, MCL, and meniscus a few years prior to that, had it surgically repaired. And so it's the same leg. I mean, it's taken out. And I'm going, oh my gosh, what are we going to do? I start to panic. She goes, well, what are you preaching on this weekend? You need a sermon illustration. Why? Because she's already thinking about done. She was thinking about God, what God wanted to do in that moment. And so I go, okay, you're laying on. This is before we had any training at all whatsoever. And so I lay my hands on her knee and I close my eyes. We train our people to keep your eyes open so you can see what God's doing. And so I grew up Catholic, so I almost went to a Hail Mary, but I didn't get to the Hail Mary in there. But I was just like, oh, Jesus, okay, you got to do this. Like, you're the healer. And I started remembering my sermon notes. Not because I necessarily had been there a place of faith yet, but I believed the word of God. And I'm saying, Lord God, this is your word and this is what you said. And I just remember, and all of a sudden I feel underneath my hands, underneath her skin, it feels like worms going like this inside of her knee. And I open my eyes, she looks at me and I go, you feel that? She goes, yeah. Afterwards we prayed and we're like, you have been healed. We're like, it happened, it worked. And I'm like, maybe I do know what I'm doing. Which was probably the first mistake, right? Because it wasn't me doing it. But it's just by faith, standing on the word of God. And so we go, man, we're going to wake up on Saturday morning. This is going to be amazing. More pain than it was before, and it's stiff. And I'm going, I'm a failure. I'm supposed to be preaching on healing, and I can't even heal my wife. And all that stuff of 10 years ago, this has been 10 years, that goes through your head, the doubt and the fear and all this stuff like this. And I remember the Lord saying, who did you put your faith in? Your ability or my ability? And I remember we had a swing set at the back, and I was sitting by the swing set. I said, Lord, I will never place my capacity based on my capacity, but always your ability. And just began to pray again, Lord, I trust you. Even if she walks in tomorrow morning and she has to have surgery again, that will not dissuade me from preaching about healing and demonstrating it. So a few hours later, we get a word of knowledge because her head is going boom, 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 is really hurting. Like, we've got to get you to the hospital. So we take her to the hospital. They run her through the x-rays, MRI machine, whatever it may be. And the nurse is asking questions and goes, she says, so you fell, do you have a headache? And Kelly's like, yeah, it's just like a migraine headache. He's pounding. She goes, you probably have a concussion, honey. And I'm like, oh, because she smacked her head. And we were just worried about the thing with the knee. And then immediately the doctor walks in right after that and says, well, we've run through your scans, but we can't find a single thing. Now, it's swelled up, so something happened very clearly, but there's no tears, there's nothing in the knee. Well, here's what we're going to do is we're going to give you a leg immobilizer, you know, those big old things around your knee. You're going to wear it for a couple weeks, and then when you come back in, we'll do a double check. But immediately in that moment, we looked at each other and we go, oh, that's why her knee the night before hadn't just swelled down is because I hadn't even prayed for the migraine. We didn't know to pray for the migraine, for the concussion. And so we go immediately. We just look at each other and go, your concussion be healed in Jesus' name. And heals. Amen. Let me tell you what happened Sunday morning. She walked into this place in heels without the leg immobilizer. What's my point? The Lord wants to prosper you in all your ways. In all his ways, he's good and he prospers. And so he wants to open up your heart and mind. That has to do with healing. And I remember, I'm never going to make a decision to throw the baby out with the bathwater because somebody else has abused and misused it. Or I'm thinking, I'm not capable of it. Because the answer is, I'm not capable of it. But he is fully, fully capable. So what does that mean for your finances? I know I said I wasn't going to talk about money. What I meant was, I'm not going to take an offering. But we do need to have to go after the heart. We do need to go in this mindset of how the Lord wants to prosper us in every way. We need to look inside the church. A lot of times there has been this poverty mindset, this poverty mentality that says it's holy to be poor. Because we'll say, well, blessed are those who are poor, and then they'll leave off the rest of it. It's almost like they rewrite the Bible. It says, blessed are those who are poor in their bank account. No, it says, blessed are those who are poor in spirit because they know their need for God. When I realize that in my human spirit, I'm poor. I'm weak. Papa Bill talked about last week about inferior those when they realize their need for God. Because when you get into that place of need of God, it actually opens up his ability to provide everything that you need. So if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to a couple passages of scripture. First one's going to be Deuteronomy chapter 14. Deuteronomy 14, put a marker there. The other one is going to be 3 John 1, and keep it open. Deuteronomy 14, 3 John chapter 1. So while you're turning, I feel like the Lord says it's time, and as an elder group, we've been meeting, we've been praying over these plans, we've been praying for the preparation, we've been praying over the talent, treasure, the whole nine yards. And the Lord made something very clear. It's time to actually prepare your people to prosper. It's time to prepare. We've prepared you. We've trained. We've equipped you on actually how to have a good kingdom mindset, on actually how to lay hands on the sick, on actually how to have an expectation. It's time for us to come into a belief that God doesn't just want to speak to you. He wants to prosper you. He wants to bless you. It may show up like numbers in your bank account, but that's not the main point. He will prosper you to be a blessing, right? He blesses you to bless, freely receive, freely give. He's the Lord. He's the keeper of it all. And so what we've got from today, we have 98 days until September the 10th. And you may ask, well, 98 days, what significance is that? In the meeting, immediately the Lord was talking to Gary, who's one of our elders, and Gary came from Illinois, from a farming background, and he just started saying, I feel like the Lord is going to do something in regards to farming and preparation and things like this. And I'm like, we're supposed to spend these 90 days. So I said, Gary, what is the plant the seed to the harvest time frame? What's the typical time frame? And he says, well, there's seeds that are 7-day seeds, 60-day seeds, 90-day seeds, 120-day seeds that will go from the planting of the seed to the harvesting of said fruit that comes out of that seed. And I, like the Lord says, you've got 3 months. You've got 3 months to begin to sow into our mind. You understand this is not about the building. This is about what God wants to do with it. You know what he wants to do with it? He wants to do the people. He wants to bring people in who are going to be saved, healed, set free. He wants to disciple. He wants to father and mother people. He wants to equip them for the work of ministry. He wants to bring in world changers who are going to be so radically transformed that they will actually go to the nations and transform the nations. They'll be the ones that actually run for office, maybe even the Oval Office, and actually bring kingdom transformation. And they're the ones that are going to actually develop a cure for cancer because they're brilliant in medical field. They're going to be those who are attorneys who are going to understand how to actually operate in this world. They're going to be business owners who are actually going to radically transform the way business is done. Does anybody know? I can't remember his first name now, but Isaac. He's a power forward for the Orlando Magic, and he is a strong kingdom believer. With all the craziness of wokeness that's going on with Nike and Adidas and the whole thing about, you know, producing transgender wear and all that jazz like that, he goes, why is everybody afraid? He says, because we should not have to be silent of what the Word of God says. What is this? It's not just protesting that bad things are happening, but it's God placing the Spirit of God inside of somebody that says, I can make you prosperous in all that you do so that it actually makes my kingdom message prosper everywhere, where it gives people an alternative to the craziness of the world to actually have a good quality product. Think about The Chosen, and I don't care that they found a flag. That was one person who's not saved on the set of The Chosen that had a LGBTQ flag. Look at the message of it and the way that they produce it. It's excellent. It's not the cheesy, not even B-rated movies of the 80s. Like, do you remember Christian movies? Christian programming used to be like F. Not want that out there, right? Representing the King and his kingdom. It's coming to this place. Why? Because all of a sudden there's kingdom people who understand the power of excellence. That the Lord's prosper them in creativity, that the Creator himself has actually given us the capacity to create entertainment that actually won't just entertain, but it. But let me tell you what right now, this is not going to cost $5, but it's not about the $5 or the $5 million or whatever it takes. Here's what it takes. Do you believe that God wants to prosper you and your family? Do you believe that God wants to prosper you in your finances? Do you believe that God wants to prosper you in your place of work or your place of business? Do you believe that God wants to actually do abundantly more than you might ask, think, or imagine? According to the power that's working inside of you, which is the Holy Spirit. That's the spirit of excellence. The spirit that hovered over the formless thing is the thing that actually created everything we enjoy. Because God is an excellent one. That's what we're pressing into. So for the next 3 months, what are we going to do? We're going to begin to sow seeds into you that say this, that you might prosper in all ways. Look at this verse in 3 John 1, verse 2 through 4. I want you to hear this, because I had to go back and reread it, and I'll tell you why I had to reread it, because when I read it earlier in my faith before the Holy Spirit, I read it in a different way. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper. Let me hear you say prosper. That you may prosper in all things. Let me hear you say all things. And be in health just as your soul prospers. You know how I used to read that? Beloved, I pray that your body would prosper and your mind would prosper. and I left out in all things. What does all mean in the Greek? That's it. That you might prosper. So let me read this again. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers, so spirit, soul, and body. For I rejoice greatly when the brothers came and testified of the truth that is in you. Notice where they what they testified about. The truth of who God is was in the lives of the people. Hear this. It wasn't just they walked up and says, what's your scripture memory verse? And they were able to give them a scripture memory verse. That's great. But if your life doesn't reflect it, it really doesn't matter what you can quote. The Pharisees knew the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, backwards and forwards. And Jesus stood before them and says, and here you think is the key to eternal life, that you'll find eternal life in there. But they all point to the person standing before you, and that was Jesus. So we have to understand it was the life that Jesus bring. It was the life of Jesus that was a testimony of the Father's goodness. And so when we're looking at this thing, it needs to be this. Their very lives testified to the goodness of God, that they were actually prospering in the things that they were doing, in their physical health, and their mental and emotional health. This it's wholehearted. It's physical wholeness. The Lord challenged me just last year. He says, all right, you're not 24 anymore. It's time to start treating your body for the long haul, as if I want to prosper it until you're 100. Because the route you're going, you're not gonna prosper at 100. You're not going to prosper at 80. You're probably not going to even prosper at 60. And so I had to make some changes to my diet. I had to make some changes with my decision-making. I had to make changes. And in this year, I've been really intentional going after it, saying, Lord, I want my body to prosper because you created it. And I've only got one. I've got one life to pour out for you. I remember Robert Emmett, who was a senior pastor of CBC that planted us, and he told a story. I don't remember who it was, but there's this famous evangelist. And he burned for the Lord higher than you can imagine. He did meetings all over the countryside. Lots and lots of people were actually saved, healed, and set free. And he died in his 20s. And the testimony, look at all the good thing he did. I'm like, yes. But did he have to die for it like that? I'm willing to die for the gospel. That's not the question. But if you're not stewarding your body, what testimony is that? Stress. Heart attacks. The church should not be so sick because of our choices. When things are outside of your control, they're outside of your control. That's what we pray for the sick. But a lot of times we're praying for people who are sick because of choices they made to not prosper in their physical health and their mental and emotional health. And the Lord's saying this, where's going to be the lives of my people who testify of my goodness? Look, no shame, no guilt, no condemnation. Far be it. I'm going to physical therapy this week to have my knee worked on. Right? It's okay to do natural means, but what I'm telling you is this. It's time for us to take this level seriously. What's the time the Lord's given you? How much time do you have to be able to pour into your physical body and the people around you? And it says this, and that your soul would prosper. What's kind of interesting is this. It ties prospering in all things and your physical prospering to your soul prospering. Let's read that verse one more time. I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health. Here's a big J word, just. Let me hear you say just. This isn't justice. Just as your what prospers? Your mind, your will, your emotions. So we have to get our mindsets into alignment with the prospering of the Lord. We have to get our memories into alignment with the mind of Christ. If you've gone through traumas, it's time to bring the traumas into the wholeness of Christ. It's time to stop. Does anybody remember Pet Rocks? Is that still a thing? I don't remember. And then Chia Pets was a thing for a while. And then now it's all digital. Like you can have the little Furby thing here and you make it prosper and stuff like that. Like, I don't know what the point of that was. Made your soul prosper. Yeah, it had to do with the soul. Random Thoughts by Jay Miller, right? What was the old Saturday Night Live? Deep Thoughts by Jack Handy. Yeah. But here's the point. Your soul, your mind, your will, your emotions. That's what it was. Sometimes we treat our hurts like they're a pet rock. We treat our hurts like they're your favorite pet dog or cat. I love you. Pray for you guys. But I'm a dog guy. It's okay. I don't mind admitting that. I'm going to avoid that like the plague. I believe that, but I'm not going to talk about cats. Okay, I got to tell one joke. That might be true because cats don't like water, so they can't be baptized. All right, so. Sorry. I grew up with a cat. But here's the point. When you treat your hurt, you treat the thing that was done to you like that favorite pet, and you prosper the hurt, and you wonder, why am I sick in my heart? Why is my hope deferred? Why am I disappointed? Maybe because you're prospering the wrong thing. And it's time to bring it to him. Underneath the blood, he will actually transform that. He will take what the enemy meant for evil, and he will use it for his good. He will begin to prosper you in your heart and your soul. Has anybody ever heard the song, It Is Well With My Soul? Does anybody know the origin of that song? It was written by a man who lost his wife and his children when a ship sunk somewhere off the coast of Africa, if I'm not mistaken, and they died. And he took a ship out to the place they died, and he wrote that hymn. It is well with my soul. It's well with my soul. I'm going to take a tragedy and say, I'm not going to put my focus on that. I'm going to put my eyes back on him, because he knew his wife and children were saved. This is the point. You got John, what's his name, the guy that wrote Amazing Grace. It wasn't John Wesley. John Newton, yes, yes. He was a former captain of a slave ship. And he encounters God. It would have been very easy for him to take his life like Judas, saying, what a wicked man I am. I've run into, and I've seen the wickedness of slavery and what I've done to participate in. He could have gotten caught up into his past, but instead he got caught up into the one who saved him. And he says, I was a wretch, but then he saved me. And here's the beauty of encountering Jesus. You're no longer a wretch, you're now a saint. You're valuable, you're precious, you're loved. Would you prosper in that thought today? Would you make a determination? Here's the thing. You have the power, and I did use the word power intentionally because God gave it to you. You have the power to determine whether you're going to prosper or not because God gave you a will. And he will never strong arm you into prospering. Now, we know this. Many of the plans of a man's heart and the Lord's purposes will prevail. He's got a purpose, and he's going to carry his purpose whether you're on board or not. He's going to carry his purpose. But you won't necessarily prosper in the purpose that God's put you to. This isn't get saved and hold on until you die or Jesus comes back so I can survive this world. This is, I've been radically transformed by the blood of Jesus. I'm now a saint, and it doesn't matter the darkness that I see. The one who lives in me is stronger than the one who's in the world. And so it's time for me to unleash the one who's inside of me. But you will actually turn God back into the Ark of the Covenant where he can't get out of a box if you choose to prosper the negative things in your heart and your life. Remember the Ark of the Covenant had a lid on it? And God relegated himself to a box. I think Bill even said it last week. And God actually relegated himself to your box, who you are. Because your body is what? The temple of the Holy Spirit. It's not just some woo-woo spirit. It's God. God lives in you. And when you actually prosper things that are not God, it actually nails down that box lid where God's trying to get out of you, but the problem is it's all covered by the crap of the past. And the Lord says like this, would you just blow the top off the box? Would you just let me in and transform you completely and fully? Would you just prosper in your soul? Because I want to prosper you physically. I want to prosper you in all of your ways. Because the only way the world is going to see transformation is if a prosperous people actually bring it to them. Come on. The only way the world, you want to know how we're going to transform Washington? When a prosperous people actually start walking in the kingdom and prosper in all the ways that confounds the wisdom of the world. I was talking to a brother this week. It was a fantastic testimony. He's like, I walk in and I'm a technician on machines, on ACs. And he says, I'll walk in and everybody's like, we don't know what to do. We've had everybody look at it. We don't know what to do. The Lord gives them a word of knowledge. Here's exactly where it's at in this piece of equipment. Here's exactly how he fixes it. Walks in, doot, 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 doot. And they're like, oh my gosh, you must be a learned one. It's like, I've only been at this for 10 years. Why? But God showed me. And they're like, wait, what? Yeah, the God of the universe who created all this, he prospers me in my job so that I can demonstrate his goodness in that place and we can enjoy AC. Feel like T.D. Jakes here in a second, right? I'm going to need me my cloth here. Someone give an amen to the Lord. So let's go back to this again. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. For I rejoiced greatly when the brothers came and testified of the truth that is in your life just as you walk. There's the verse. Just as you walk in the truth. So it was both evident that was in them, but they walked the truth out. And he says this, and I have no greater joy than to hear my children walk in truth. Now, truly, this is John, the apostle, the beloved one that's writing to the church, and he's a spiritual father to his spiritual kids. But I want you to hear this. The Father, no greater joy the Father has to see you walk in the truth of who he is and that you prosper in all that you do. You're asking, well, what is all that I do? I don't know. What do you do? What do you put your hand to? What has he created you for? Do you have family? Do you have friends? Do you have a place of work? Do you have a house? Do you have a car? Everything that you do, everywhere you go, that you would prosper. It says in Luke chapter 12, verses 31 through 32, seek the kingdom of God above all else, and he will give you everything you need. That sounds like prosperity to me. We're like, well, does God really? He just wants me to be happy in this place. No, he wants you to be happy in him. I've been to Africa, some poor, 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 poor people. Some of the happiest people he'd ever meet. Why? Because their soul was prospering. And when they had three or four goats, they were actually prospering financially because their neighbors didn't have it. They were the Bill Gates of their neighborhood. Do you get perspective context? We think prosperity from an American mindset where we can look at Elon Musk or we can look at Bill Gates or we can look at that. It's like, no, that's prospering. I was in Northeast India. And I was in a place where you're talking about the same group of people. And this one guy walked in, and he actually had a limp. And that's just that week, he had fallen in a hole. He broke his leg. And he came in, and he says, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And I'm like, this dude is happy. He's not even thinking about his leg. And I'm like, hey, bro, what happened to your leg? And he told me, I'm like, can we pray for you? He goes, oh, yeah, please pray for me. I knew that I'd be healed today. He had an expectation. It had nothing to do with his financial needs. Do you hear what I'm saying? The money's easy. God owns a cattle on 1,000 hills. We always use that, and it's like, well, what the heck does that mean? Because we're not cattlemen now. We used to be. Texas was a cattle state. But we have to understand, everything you need's in his bank account. You know what he wants? All of you. Every part of your life. Give it to him. It says, seek the kingdom of God above all else, and he will give you everything you need. So don't be afraid, little flock, for it gives your Father great happiness to give you the kingdom. The Greek word for prosper here, I just want to go back to this word prosper. It means this: properly to go on a prosperous journey. To go on a prosperous journey. To be on the right path, leading to real success and fortune. Where someone truly prospers and is prospered. That's the Greek word. That's what it means to prosper. Blessings came in the old covenant, did they not? Was there blessings in the old covenant? Did you know that the Jews to this day who don't have the Messiah, they miss the fact that the Messiah has already come, and don't worry, he's coming after them. We know this. The scriptures talk about it. He's still going after his people Israel who don't know him yet because the Messiah has already come. But if you meet a Jewish person who's really walking in it, actually, they don't even have to be a religious Jew. It's built into their psyche that they're the head and not the tail, that they would prosper in everything they put their hand to. Where did that come from? The old covenant. The old covenant. talked about blessings. So often we talk about the old covenant, about all the curses and about death and about sin and about you have to do this, this, and this. No, the point of the old covenant was to get them to the blessing. Now, can we all agree that the covenant we walk in Jesus is far superior? So let me ask you this question. Is Jesus going to prosper you any less than he prospered the Jews? Then why do we act like it? Why do we have a poverty mindset? Why is it then, not you guys, I'm not talking about y'all. Y'all are on board. I'm preaching the choir on this one. But sometimes when we put out there, hey, there's a class coming, or there's a school for ministry, and it's going to be X amount of money, and people are like, oh my gosh, everything should be free in the church. Well, what's the root of that? Poverty. A poverty mindset. Why? Because they're looking for the provision outside of God's hand. Got real quiet all of a sudden. Like, y'all need to be happy, all right? Like, prosper in all that you prosper. Like, this is my point. It's a poverty mindset. And so when we're coming into this thing, the Old Testament blessings covenant, which was inferior to our covenant, it's actually been upped. Jesus upped the ante. God does not change his character. He doesn't change his heart to bring blessings to you everywhere you go. Look what it says in Colossians chapter 1. Colossians is the mixing of Ephesians and Colossians together. It's the same dude that wrote the book, so you know. Look what it says in verse 9. For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. Let me hear you say prosper. Remember, this is not just about money. He's saying this, that you would prosper in all you do. And when you prosper in all that you do, you actually will actually walk in the fullness of the knowledge of God. You'll walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please him in all aspects, bearing fruit in every good work. Here's prosperity. And increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all power, according to his glorious might, for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience, joyously given thanks to God the Father, who has qualified us to share. If you've ever wondered if you're actually worthy of the blessing, look what it says. The Father qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light. The Father qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints of the light. The saints of the light do not have a poverty mentality. They have a prosperous mentality. They have a prosperous lifestyle in all that they do. Do you hear what I'm saying? I'm sowing seed as hard as I can into your hearts right now, because I believe right now this word is going to prosper you in ways in these next 3 months that will blow your mind. I promise you right now, there's some juice on what God's doing right now. The seed, let it get into your heart. Just open up your hearts. Lord, I don't believe it. I don't understand it, but I believe you. Just open up your hearts. Will you prosper? Would you put that seed inside of my heart? Prosper me in this area where I actually had illness or disease. Prosper me in this area where I actually had doubt and fear or trauma. Prosper me in this area in my finances. Prosper me in my marriage. Prosper me as a parent. Prosper my kids everywhere they go. Begin to receive the seed of God and what he's doing, because this is what the Lord wants to do. Look what it says. For he rescued us from the domain of darkness and transfer us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He, Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. That's talking about you and me. For by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He's the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself will come to have first place in everything. How do you prosper? Let Jesus become first place in everything. If you have a thought that doesn't have Jesus at the head, it's time to jettison that thought as quick as you can and repent until Jesus is at the head of it. You're like, well, I don't understand what it means in this area. I've got a really frustrating or a traumatic thing that happened to me. I understand that. Get Jesus to the head of it, and he will transform it. He will transform it. I preached about hope a few weeks back. If Jesus is not the center of it, you actually don't have hope. Look what it says, verse 19. For it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him. All the fullness of the Father, the Holy Spirit, to dwell in Jesus. And as Jesus is, so are you. So when you got baptized in the Holy Spirit, when you got born again, it says this, the fullness of him is pleased to live inside of you. Let me ask you, has Jesus ever not been prosperous? I'm not saying that when he was walking through his earthly ministry, he had to become sin. He had to become rejected. He had to become the despised thing. He had to become impoverished because that's the condition you and I were in before the cross of Christ. He had to become impoverished so that he could redeem us back into prosperity. And so we worship the resurrected one who prospers in all that he does. Does God ever have a poverty thought? No, never, not once. Not in all of eternity he's ever gone, I don't know if I can do this. I don't know if I can provide that need. I don't know what I'm going to do. Not once for all of eternity. And that's the one that lives inside of you, that's screaming for you to partner with him and let him out. He is before all things, and in him all things are held together. He's the head of the body, the church. He's the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself will come to have first place in everything. For it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him, and through him to reconcile all things. Let me hear you say all things. That includes Hollywood. That includes Washington, D.C. That includes the pharmaceutical industry. That includes everything you want to see. He wants to redeem what? All things. All of it. The one who are in prison right now, he wants to redeem them. The ones who are actually caught up in the sex trafficking, he wants to redeem them. The ones who are caught up in drug addiction, he wants to redeem them. The cry you made last night when you were praying for your wayward child, he wants to redeem them more than you want to redeem them. Do you understand that? This is what it's on the heart of the Father. Through him, reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Through him, I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven. Open up your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 14. Four times in the book of Deuteronomy, the Lord talks about blessings. How the Lord's going to prosper you, bless you in all you do. So Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 29. Then the Levite who has no portion or inheritance among you, the foreigner, the fatherless, and the widow within your gates may come, eat, and be satisfied. And listen to this. And the Lord your God will bless you in all the work of your hands that you do. Now, is this New Testament or Old Testament? Is this before Jesus? Yes. So we have to understand, in an inferior covenant, the Lord says this, I want to prosper you in all that you put your hand to. This is why the Jews actually have a prosperous mindset. Flip over to the next chapter, Deuteronomy 15:10. I love hearing the pages turn. It's such a beautiful thing. You shall generously give to him, and your heart shall not be grieved when you give to him. That's actually not even talking about giving to God. That's actually talking about giving to the poor. But look what it says. Because for this thing, the Lord your God will bless you in all your work and all of your what? Undertakings. Everything that you do. What's he talking about? A heart of generosity. Because you're prospering in all your ways, now you have something to give the people. It may be money, but it also might be a smile. You might walk into work tomorrow morning. There's somebody just like they hit the bad news lottery. And they're like, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? And because you're prospering in your soul and they're poor in spirit, but you're prosperous in spirit, you can come in and begin to give them what you have so that they might prosper in the middle of their negative situation. You got to start thinking beyond you. Flip over to Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse 20. I don't want you to get caught up on the first part of this verse because there's a lot of context to it. But the last part of this verse needs no context other than the message. You may charge interest to a foreigner, but your countrymen you shall not charge interest. So that the Lord your God may bless you in all that you undertake in the land which you're about to enter to possess. Expansion, prospering, influence. This is what it's talking about. Now one more time, flip to Deuteronomy chapter 28. I just want to give the challenge here. I need somebody to count how many times it says blessings on this or blessed. Okay? And we're gonna take count. So somebody's counting for me, all right? Maybe multiple of you are. Now it shall be, verse 1, now it shall be if you diligently obey your Lord, the Lord your God, being careful to do all his commandments, which I command you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. Sounds like prosperity, right? Why is he putting them high above the nations? So they might be an example of his goodness. Not so they can rule them to say, ha ha, we're better than you. We have something that you don't. It's so that he could actually hold up Israel and say, this is a testimony of my goodness to the world. And everyone's welcome. Everyone's invited to enjoy the goodness of the Lord. That's the reason he prospers his people. Verse 2, all these blessings will come upon you and overtake you if you obey the Lord your God. So look at that. Blessings actually chase after you. They'll overtake you. Verse 3, blessed shall you be in the city. Blessed shall you be in the country. Blessed shall be the offspring of your body and the produce of your ground and the offspring of your beasts, the increase of your herd and of the young of your flock. You could actually count a blessing for every one of those because those are individual blessings. Verse 5, blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall be you be when you come in. Blessed shall you be when you go out. The Lord shall cause your enemies who rise up against you to be defeated before you. They will come out against you one way and will flee before you seven ways. The Lord will command the blessing upon you in your barns and all that you put your hand to. And he will bless you in the land which the Lord your God gives you. The Lord will establish you as a holy people to himself, as he swore to you, if you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways. So all the peoples of the earth will see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they will be afraid of you. The Lord will make you abound in prosperity. Count that as a blessing. And the offspring of your body and the offspring of your beasts, the produce of your ground and the land which the Lord swore to your fathers to give you. The Lord will open for you his good storehouse, the heavens, to give rain to your land in its season and to bless all the work of your hand. And you shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. The Lord will make you the head and not the tail, and you will be above and you will not be underneath. If you listen to the commandments of the Lord your God, which I charge you today to observe them carefully, and do not turn aside from any words which I command you today, to the right, to the left, to go after other gods or to serve them. How many blessings were in that? 50? Because you counted each individual one. And we had 10 times that the word is there. But how many times says, blessed are this, this, and this, and this, and this, and this? 50. Let me hear you say 50. 50. Come on, 50. That's huge. 50 is a huge number inside the kingdom. He wants to bless you. And this was an old covenant. I remember telling somebody this one time, they go, well, yeah, but the old covenant was actually done away with Jesus, and da 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 da. I'm like, he fulfilled it, which means you live out of the blessing of it. If he fulfills a promise, it doesn't mean the promises of the promise go away. It means you're actually living in the promise. Do you hear what I'm saying? He fulfilled it so that you might be fulfilled. And this is just the foundation of his character, heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbors, you love yourself. That's what Jesus told. Seek first the king and his kingdom and his righteousness and all the things you need, they're going to be added to you. They're going to prosper you. They're going to come to you. They're going to chase you down. If the blessings in an old covenant could actually chase down faithful people, how much more do the blessings of Jesus chasing you down? Come on now, I said, how much more are the blessings of Jesus coming to chase you down? You need to prosper in your mindset. Do you know, I'm just going to say this because I walked past it. I have no concerns about how this thing is going to be paid for because I already have a word from the Lord that he's paying for it all and we're not going to have a note when we're done with it. I've got prophetic words that says we're going to be handed the keys to a building. So this message has nothing to do about the payment, but it has everything to do with the filling of it for the glory of the Lord and the transformation of our city. And the transformation of your home, and the transformation of your generation lines, and the transformation of our education system. Do you hear what I'm saying? That we can prosper. You become a blessing so that you may be a blessing to others. Become the blessing. Robert Morris, who's the pastor for Gateway Church, he wrote an amazing book. The first time when we got baptized in the Holy Spirit, February of 2010, that night, we went back to our hotel room and we bought the Blessed Life. It's a short book, and we read it in the hotel that night. And my mind, poof, and it just blew open the doors of things I didn't understand. He says this, what does a life filled with blessing look like? Being blessed means having supernatural power working for you. By contrast, being cursed means having supernatural power working against you. Being cursed means the supernatural powers of the enemy. The days of the blessed person are filled with divine coincidences and heavenly meaning. A blessed man may or may not be wealthy by the world's standards, but he enjoys a quality of life that most billionaires would actually envy. I believe that Elon Musk is this close to coming into the kingdom. I've talked to people who have been close and shared the gospel. Do you know that right now, you where you sit are more prosperous than him? Because you've been born again. So why don't you stand up with me? The promise of the Lord deserves to be stood on, not just sat on. We rest in his presence, but we stand on his promises. So right now, I just want you to ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, what are you saying to me personally today? Just take a moment and wait for an answer. If you're born again, say, I am. So while you're listening to the Holy Spirit to expand your capacity to prosper, I just made a comment a second ago that Elon Musk, who most people would actually envy to have what he has, would actually envy if he only knew what you carry as a born-again believer. If you're in this room right now, nobody's looking but me, but if you're in this room right now and you say, I've never really given my life to Jesus, did you know it's impossible to prosper if you actually don't have Christ living in you? The Bible says this, he became sin, he became a curse, so that we could actually walk into his blessings, we could actually have life, we could experience the blessings of the Lord. That the old would pass, the old cursed life and the new life show up in its place through Jesus. If you've never given your heart to Christ, it's time to make him your Lord and your Savior. Because on your own, you'll never prosper. But through him, you'll experience the blessings of life. So if that's you right now, just pray in your heart right now, Jesus, I surrender all to you. I surrender my capacity to be holy or righteous. I confess that I'm separate from you. Because of my separation, my life doesn't actually carry the blessings of the Lord in it. But today I surrender that to you, and I acknowledge that you died on the cross for me, that 3 days later you rose from the grave by the power of the Holy Spirit, and that you're seated with the Father in heavenly places so that I might be born again, that I might be saved. I want to be saved right now. I want to be born again. Would you prosper my spirit now by making me born again? Holy Spirit, we just come into this place of agreement as a church family right now. We thank you that, Lord, even though it looks like the days are evil, just because the enemy's doing stuff, we've made a determination we will not live in response to the enemy, but purely in response to your heart and your love. And so we join with the declaration that says, the days are actually upon us are blessed days because the goodness of the Lord is coming to transform. We just say right now, the Spirit of the Lord is upon us to preach the good news to those who are the poor in spirit, to those who are broken and hurting, to those who are impoverished, that the Spirit of the Lord has given us the capacity to set people free from the prison of insignificance, the prison of death itself, the prison of hopelessness. Because you're blessing us to bless them, to bring them into your kingdom. And so we just make a decision to lay down every single mindset or thought, every area in our soul that we're not prospering in. We actually lay it down and make you the head of it now, in Jesus' name. And I just release the power of the Spirit in your yes to that, that the Spirit of God will move quickly to prosper you. The Spirit of God will bring hope, will bring joy, will bring all the fruit of the Holy Spirit. We just say, right now, Spirit, come. Transform circumstances and situations right now. And raise our expectation of you. And we thank you, God, that we're going to go out from this place today and actually bless someone else because we've been in your presence. So we take your promises seriously. And we declare this in Jesus' mighty name. And all God's people said, amen, amen, amen. Come on, give him a shout of praise. Yeah.
Thank you so much for joining us as we seek first after God's kingdom and release it to transform lives and cities. If you would like more information about how to grow in the kingdom or connect with Legacy, go to our website, www.legacynb.com.